We'll open the July 24th, 2009 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Rain Report, the weekly audio ham radio feature magazine of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. The views expressed in the following program aren't necessarily those of this station nor anyone connected with Rain. The debate about the so-called closed versus open repeaters has raged on for decades. About every 5 or 10 years, however, someone approaches the FCC to rule against so-called closed repeaters. The most recent challenge is from a Washington, D.C. area ham named Murray Green, K3BEQ. He spoke this week with Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP.
I've requested that Part 97.205E of the Amateur Radio Service Rules be changed to prohibit limiting the use of frequencies used by closed repeaters. Current rules permit limiting the use of equipment to certain uses, primarily because the equipment cannot be regulated.
Defined for the new amateur, what is a closed repeater? How is it different from your everyday repeater?
Well, that's the rub. Presently, the FCC permits closed repeaters. And essentially, they are repeaters that can only be used if you pay to use it. And that's the reason I'm put the petition in for changing. Closed repeaters and frequencies are inseparable. And because of this, I believe the frequencies should not be held hostage by repeater owners and control operators who require amateurs to pay to use the repeater, or to tell first-time users that the repeater is for selected members only. It's elitist, it's discriminatory, and it's just darn wrong.
So to reiterate, you're talking about repeaters that require a subscription or membership fee in order to use them.
That's true. For closed repeaters, the owners don't want you using the repeater unless you pay to use it. Where open repeaters, it's a voluntary thing.
This approach where you have to pay a certain fee to operate a repeater, how is that allowed to occur? Because one could argue that would be pecuniary interest.
You won't find it in the regulations, but I believe the primary reason that the FCC permits it is because the FCC, the government, cannot control equipment. They can control the frequencies, but not the equipment. And therefore, the equipment users can do whatever they want. In this case, they're saying, hey, you want to use our repeater? Pay for it. Where typically on an open repeater, it's voluntary. And it's my experience that someone who uses a repeater consistently will volunteer to pay dues. But if you insist on payment before using, I think the reverse is true.
Paying for the use of a repeater or the option to use a repeater is one thing. What about if I own a repeater and I'm using P25 or a more obscure type of digital technology that requires certain equipment be purchased to operate that repeater? Is that more permissible than paying your way?
Well, one of the arguments for the closed repeater is that it's more technical because of interlinking to other repeaters and to the internet and to other digital activities. But in my opinion, in my experience, the closed repeaters are no more technical than the open repeaters. Many, many repeaters throughout the country have capabilities and features where operators can press some touch tones and access Echolink, for example, or IRLP. Technically, there's really not a big deal here to operating a closed repeater in the same fashion that they operate an open repeater. So that argument really doesn't wash here.
Would you say that requiring someone to pay their way or to use a certain technology to access a repeater is just a thinly veiled way of trying to keep certain people off the repeater?
Hap, you said it, I didn't, but you kind of hit a good point, and I think, in my opinion, that may very well be true. And I think this started a long time ago. When you look at it, the closed repeater is essentially a closed frequency policy. And it tends to drive away potential members and their revenue and breeds inactivity by not using regulated frequencies effectively. And that's one of the requirements in Part 97, to use regulated frequencies effectively.
Many years ago, I was on the board of a so-called closed repeater here in Chicago on 440. I think you'll find a whole lot more of those, that whole intercom mentality on 440 than on 2 meters, and surely more than 220 or 1296. But that repeater association charged a membership to help defray the costs that were considerable. Both of the equipment having been purchased for this repeater and the rent that the repeater association had to pay for. And let's face it, most repeaters nowadays versus 20, 30 years ago have to pay their way. And nowadays, when you don't have auto patch to rely on for operating capital with which to operate that repeater, it is not surprising. And in fact, I'm surprised there isn't more of this closed repeater mentality.
That's a good point, but still another argument for closed repeaters. It cost money for all the sophisticated equipment. But when you really look at it, Hap, it doesn't cost any more money or funds than open repeaters. The open repeaters have electricity costs, equipment costs, administrative costs. I was on the board of 2 repeaters here in the Washington, D.C. area, the Green Mountain Repeater Association. And it cost about $2,000 a year to run that, and that included everything. And membership was well over 200. It reached 250. And there was a membership dues, but it was voluntary. And here's where the rub comes in. You take a closed repeater, and they insist that you pay before you use that repeater, and of course it's accompanying frequency, it drives away members and its potential revenue. And that's where I do not quite understand when they say they need the funds to run the repeater effectively, when essentially they're scaring people away.
Murray Green, K3BEQ, speaking with Raines Hapali, KC9RP, about his FCC petition that would disallow so-called closed repeaters from the VHF-UHF ham radio spectrum. We'll hear more about this controversy in a moment. This is the Rain Report, being subsidized by Merle Heinlein, KB9NOH. You'll find his bio on QRZ.com. This is the Rain Report.
What are you looking for the FCC to change in Part 97?
Good question. I've asked the FCC to change the rules to prohibit limiting the use of frequencies used by closed repeaters directly or indirectly, except where a user blatantly violates the commission's rules. In other words, Hap, closed repeaters and its regulated frequency should be open to all amateurs having the proper class of license and not on a pay-for-use basis. Voluntary contributions work for the large majority of open repeaters throughout the United States. It can work for closed repeaters provided users are given that opportunity. And I might add that the commission has yet to assign a rulemaking number. It's amateur radio, Hap. It's not a closed society. It's not an elitist group. And you simply can't discriminate. And also, it violates the FCC rules, which state that frequencies are to be regulated effectively and used effectively. If you have an elitist group that's discriminating on who can come in, it's wrong. It's simply wrong. It's not amateur radio. Can you imagine a new ham operator getting onto the frequency where there's a closed repeater, and he happens to have the correct PL? Imagine how this comes across to a new ham, and also to the public who may be listening on scanners. Amateur radio, in my opinion, was not set up that you have to pay to use the frequencies which are regulated.
Another argument that a closed repeater group might present, and I don't agree with this, is there are plenty of other open repeaters you can go to. Why don't you go over to them? Leave us alone.
And that's exactly what they're doing by insisting on paying. I think your initial comment that maybe these owners want the limited amount of hams on their repeater may be spot on.
I think that is probably the number one argument against the closed repeater pay-as-you-grow concept. But the other one that I would like to see more discussion about is the whole pecuniary interest, the money aspect of repeaters. And in amateur radio, we are not supposed to do anything that would be involving the taking in of income for someone to operate the public airwaves. If you want to charge a membership fee to join a repeater organization, that's one thing. But for me to charge you X number of dollars a year for the privilege of operating my hoity-toity high-tech repeater strikes me as being very much of a conflict of interest.
It is. If it's an issue of unregulated equipment versus regulated frequencies, the latter should prevail, and that repeater owners in the best interest of the amateur radio service not be allowed permissive and indirect control of regulated amateur radio frequencies by insisting on a pay-for-use equipment policy. The open repeaters are available for any amateur with the correct license class to operate. But if they want to engage in IRLP or Echolink, then of course they have to join. But in the case of the closed repeater, they're saying you can't use the repeater at all and its accompanying frequency unless you pay first.
If someone would like to contact you with some comments,
K3 Bravo Echo Quebec at ARRL.net.
That's K3VEQ at ARRL.net. Is there a website that someone can read this proposal?
I'm told that it's on the FCC webpage. I could not find it, but a ham did call me saying he spotted it, even though it hasn't been assigned a rulemaking number.
If someone writes you an email and asks for a copy of your proposal, would you send it to them?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how long it takes to assign a number. In fact, they may not assign a number. They may essentially say it's not workable, and I just don't know what the procedures are at the FCC on that.
It will be interesting to see what the FCC does, if anything. Hopefully, they'll put it out as an NPRM and not just dismiss it out of hand. I've been speaking today with Murray Green, K3VEQ, a retired telecommunications officer from the Department of Defense and a resident of
Cheverly, Maryland.
And again, his email address is A3VEQ at ARRL.net. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP in Chicago.
Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, speaking with Maryland Ham Murray Green, K3BEQ, about his petition to the FCC that would eliminate so-called closed repeaters. Editorially speaking, don't look for the FCC to issue any NPRM, notice of proposed rulemaking number, on this one, as there is plenty of precedent on the books for the commission to fall back on. The bottom line is that the FCC has declared that a repeater trustee can prevent whomever he or she chooses from using his or her repeater. Nevertheless, we can readily understand Murray's frustration, and we share his concerns about the mixed signals closed repeaters send to the new hams and the general public. Next week, we'll bring you our first excerpt from the Central States VHF Society Conference that was being held at Press Time in Chicago. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2009 Rain. All rights are reserved. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.